Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we have a conversation with Eileen Moore from Caesars Entertainment and the regional vice president in charge of the Link, the Flamingo, and the Cromwell in Las Vegas. The GGB podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing site for land-based and online casinos in North America. Eileen Moore was pursuing a career in the hospitality industry when Caesars Entertainment came calling. After being hired for her expertise in data analysis, she fulfilled her dream of getting into property management. Today, she is regional vice president for Caesars Entertainment, overseeing operations at the Link, the Flamingo, and the Cromwell on the east side of the Las Vegas Strip. As the cover story of the September issue of GGB, she talks about her career in the industry and how being a woman was both an advantage and a challenge to her. She explains how she's leading development on the east side of the Strip properties and what she has planned to improve those facilities. She spoke with me from her offices in Las Vegas in August. Eileen Moore, thanks for joining us on the GGB podcast. It's great to talk to you on the phone. We've been in your office several times at the Flamingo, but this will have to do for the summer here.
Thanks, Roger. It's so great to hear from you again.
So congratulations on being profiled in our September issue, which we're focusing on women in gaming. You were nominated by the Global Gaming Women Board. So, it's a really honor from your peers, not just from our magazine.
Yes, thank you so much. When I received your email that this was a possibility for us to chat today and talk about not just global gaming women, but everything that's happening in the industry and particularly for women, I got very excited at the opportunity. So
great.
Thank you for this.
Well, we know you've been a major force within your company for the advancement of women, and we want to just kind of spread the message throughout the industry now. So let's just start at the beginning. Did you actually choose to work in the gaming industry, or was it kind of just a lucky break that you wound up there?
Yeah, I would say more of the lucky break, but I absolutely chose the hospitality industry at a young age. My father worked for the hotel business, and my mom worked for United Airlines.
Okay.
So as a child, I got bitten by the travel bug and got to stay really around the country at a lot of different resort and hotel city properties and fall in love with the business. And really had a passion for hospitality at a young age.
Great.
That's what led me to go to hotel school and come out of hotel school in traditional hotels and hospitality. But in 1999, received a call that a gaming company was actually looking to invest money in a hotel revenue management system that would incorporate gaming revenue. And the rest is history. I came and joined Harrah's at that time in 1999. I've stuck with not just the company, but the industry since then, and I love it.
Great. What were some of the early jobs you did in the hospitality industry?
Yeah, I started off in a restaurant, so I was a hostess, a waitress. I was the back bartender for a period of time while I was in school. And then I moved over to the operations side in the hotel and worked at the front desk, reservations, and did a management trainee program where I pretty much did every department in the hotel from housekeeping, laundry, bell desk, concierge, you name it. Yeah. It was really beneficial because I think it's really afforded me the opportunity to lead such an amazing, hardworking group of people, but let them know that I've been in their position.
Sure.
And I understand that it's not an easy business. These jobs are hard, but they're absolutely and tremendously fulfilling.
Right.
They play a vital role in taking care of people when they're away from home.
No question. It's kind of interesting that I've talked to a lot of people in your position, and a lot of them started out at the front desk, or at least had some experience at the front desk. Is that really an important role, interacting with the customers, and do you learn a lot at the front desk?
Absolutely. That's the first point of welcome in the guest experience and their journey. So you really get to really set the stage for their entire visit to the property and their stay. But it's also the place where you hear if there's things that didn't go quite right with their stay. So, most of the complaints are fielded through the front desk. So your opportunity to interact with guests you know, both from a welcoming perspective at the height of anticipation and hope, but also when things don't go perfectly, which happen every day in this business, and how you can turn that around for a guest is really where the magic happens.
Sure,
so
no question.
I definitely agree with that.
No question about that. And the people that I've talked to who have experience at the front desk really understand that interpersonal experience between the guests and how important it is. So let's who inspired you early on? Who were some of your mentors?
Yeah, I would say two women in particular that I would love to call out is Marilyn Spiegel, who was our head of human resources for the company.
Sure.
Back in the early days when I joined, but then also became a strict president. And I got to spend some time with Marilyn and chat with her about that transition from a corporate strategic role into property, you know, mega operations. And that really inspired me, and I followed my path somewhat on some of the decisions and experiences that she had. I worked for my first 7 years in the company on corporate strategy, particularly in the areas of revenue management and slots and gaming revenue management, and then transitioned into property operations, really with my sights on getting a position such as the one that I'm in today. The second person would be Janet Baronio,
mm-hmm.
and she also is a regional president who really headed up most of our tribal operations for the company and had a tremendous 20-plus year career leading operations for the company. So two role models there for sure.
Sure.
And then a personal mentor would be John Payne. He gave me my first shot on the operations side as assistant general manager down in New Orleans post-Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
And not a lot of folks were raising their hand for the opportunity, but John thought of me because I had been asking for quite some time to get into operations. And we were opening our first ever hotel there in that market,
mm-hmm.
Which we hit top 10 hotels in the United States in year one of operations from Condé Nast. So a huge pride point for us. And because I had the hospitality background, he was willing to take a shot on me. And so I absolutely put John up in that regard and gave him my first general manager spot as well at the Horseshoe in Southern Indiana.
Sure. Well, John's a sharp guy. I met him when he was running the Atlantic City properties, and he really knows the business.
Yeah, and he, you know, instead of just talking about diversity, he takes real action
mm-hmm.
to put diverse talent in positions of authority and responsibility. And it's been a delight to just watch him do that.
Yeah, no question. So did you have a perception as you were moving up that it was going to be more difficult for you to get promoted or get ahead because you were a woman?
I really didn't. I'm very fortunate to be of a generation where the women that came before me really broke through the glass ceilings. You know, a lot of people wear a badge of honor that they're the first female this.
Right.
I can honestly say I've been the first female anything, and I'm happy with that. I remember when I got the position here on the Strip, I actually was the fourth or fifth female Strip president, and that was just fine by me. I'd love to see more women in these top spots. I think we can do a tremendous job, and by tapping into more women, I think it only benefits the industry.
Yeah, no question about that. So now that you're in a position of leadership, do you do anything special to encourage women who work with you to get ahead and or to do different things?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm very passionate about Sheryl Sandberg and the Lean In book that she wrote and really the organization that she developed. And through my relationship with Young Presidents Organization, YPO, I had the opportunity to get trained early on, even prior to the release of the book, on how to launch and be a moderator of Lean In Circles. And I've been on a path here at Caesars since 2013. And we have over 11 circles and 70 women who are participating in these circles. And it's just been tremendous. What it is a peer-to-peer mentorship circle that meets on a regular basis. And instead of giving advice, you know, from a traditional mentor and mentee, the circle actually does shared experiences, which really allows for more enriching experience and people to feel as if they have their own personal board of directors. And we've seen a tremendous amount of success. So we launched it in 2013 with just one circle and seven women. And within a year, all seven women have been promoted or taken on positions with additional responsibilities. So the company was so excited at the results of that launch circle, we actually then launched seven more circles. And again, we're now in our third, and before the end of the year, we'll have our fourth iteration. But the second launch of circles within that second year, 56% of the women took on promotions within the company mm-hmm. or roles with greater responsibility. So there really is some magic to this circle environment that provides a place for people to talk confidentially and get really great insights to really empower them to take the next step in their career.
Sure.
And lean in. So based on the success at Caesars, Global Gaming Women had approached me and said, hey, you're a founding member on our board. We'd love for you to tackle the mentorship committee with a great friend and a mentor to me personally, Holly Gagnon, mm-hmm. and launch some Circle GGW. So I'm thrilled to say we've had an overwhelming response. They just launched in January of this year, and we have 81 women participating across the country in circles. And it's been fantastic. I did a meeting with the circle moderators in June, and they reported back 100% that the women are fully engaged. They're networking at a higher level than they've seen and getting some great insights to really give them the confidence to raise their hand and look for other opportunities and to move up. So it's been really fantastic to see that.
Sure. And of course, you have to have the support of your upper management, and Caesars has a long history of that kind of support. Is that, do you see that in other companies, or you're encouraging that in other companies?
I do, and I would tell you, I'd call out Aristocrat Technologies. So mm-hmm. they had one of the highest number of participants in the Global Gaming Women launch of circles. And so we actually did an Aristocrat-specific circle. And that circle, you know, I really modeled it after some of the work we did at Caesars. And it can be really fulfilling because when you're talking with people in the circle, they obviously understand the company's dynamics, what are their mission, vision, and goals, what's the business strategy. And so the advice and the sharing gets at a much richer level. But the circles work either intra-company or across the industry, as I've said.
Great. So you've got a very important job with Caesars now, heading up Harrah's, the Link, Flamingo, and the Cromwell on the east side of the Strip. What was it that prepared you so much for this leadership position?
Yeah, I would say, you know, having the combination of the corporate strategy piece in my foundation uh-huh. and then spending time in New Orleans, which New Orleans for us is one of our most interesting markets because it's absolutely both a local, regional, and national market.
Sure.
You get to play a little bit of each of those buckets. It also has a tremendous VVIP business, one of our top properties in the company for that, but also a tremendous retail and slot customer that mm-hmm. visits, obviously an urban casino in the middle of New Orleans. Is a wonderful thing to take advantage of. And so I think that, as well as the corporate strategy role early on. But for us here on this side of the Strip, you know, our company's made a huge investment into us, over $1 billion, and being able to really change what we stood for, which was traditionally Harrah's and Caesars, we were just known as a gaming primary company. We've really shifted that into a more hospitality focus, and that's the bet that we placed on this side of the Strip. And I'm happy to say it's paying off in spades. So really excited to see the changes. Our visitation and spend demographics are up, particularly in the demographics that we try to go after with the Link brand, which is absolutely a millennial mindset, focused more technology, you know, utilizing that center Strip location, but done in a modern way, and really having the advantage of the Link Promenade with all the restaurants, bars, shops, and the high roller position right there. But as well as the Cromwell, doing the standalone boutique hotel, and really bringing in a refined hospitality customer that wants a world-class experience unlike any other. Mm-hmm. And the Cromwell, to brag a little bit, they just were named by the USA Today Reader's Choice as one of the top 10 casinos in the United States.
That's right.
And that's phenomenal, given the size of the property with only 188 rooms.
Right.
You know, the other properties that are on there are spectacular resorts with thousands of rooms.
Mm-hmm.
But it just speaks to the teammates and the associates at Cromwell and the service that they provide. When you're on that property, it feels different and special.
Yeah, there's no question about it. That really was well done, transitioning from the old Bill's gambling hall into something that's such high end is really spectacular. And when you add the nightclubs and the restaurants, Giada's restaurant to that, it's just been a real success for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you first got there, it was before, while the Link was being built, right? You were not in charge of that in the beginning. They were already building it, right?
Yes, so I had the Link Resort, and then I was in charge of the High Roller,
right.
The observation wheel that opened.
Right.
And we had a different person in charge of the promenade, actually leasing the street and getting the tenants up. And sure. Then I operate some businesses out on the Link Promenade, too.
Right.
So we're kind of landlord, tenant,
yes.
And then surrounding neighborhoods. So, yeah, a little bit of everything.
But that's become such a success now. You know, it really is a focal point of the Strip. You know, when you fly in, you can see it. When you're driving up to the Strip, you can see it. Is that really become the signature of the four properties right now?
Absolutely. It's such an attraction. And since we've added things like the In-N-Out, where there's just lines constantly, you know, I always tell everyone, lines aren't a bad thing as long as they're moving.
Right, exactly.
But they're
right.
Moving. So uh-huh. A record number of people. Gordon Ramsay Fish and Chip mm-hmm. is fantastic. And it's right there up at the front of the promenade. And then some powerhouses like Yard House, Tilted Kilt, O'Shea's, of course.
Of course, right.
I just was working at O'Shea's this past weekend, and I'm always fascinated by all the guests that are visiting there. They're not necessarily just staying with us. They're coming in from competitor properties.
Right.
The O'Shea's, it's must-see destination. For such a little spot, that's really cool.
Sure. And, of course, you get, you know, everybody walking by there who walks through the promenade as well. So, you know, it's again, you've got your Caesars customers and people who are just visiting the town and from other hotels. So how do you try to capture them as customers?
Yeah, so it's interesting. You know, absolutely we see where they're headed when they're on their traffic patterns. So we look at that flow. And then it's just making sure that we've got things along the way that are fun and interesting. So if you look at the Link design of that casino, it has four unique districts.
Uh-huh.
And so if people are headed out to Link Promenade, they're going to run into a state-of-the-art sports book that's very fresh and modern and inviting and doesn't look necessarily like the other traditional sports books that may be at their home property.
Right.
They'll also run into Tag, which is and still the only electronic table games lounge in Las Vegas, where all of the games are dedicated to that and has an interactive environment. Again, what we find from millennial mindset folks is they want to be betting on a game, watching a game, you know, texting on their phones. We've got USB ports in there as
right.
well as maybe involved in two or three other things.
Right.
And so that's really neat to attract them and just offer, you know, really differentiate ourselves. And then obviously with the Flamingo, we've got the classic casino experience and really some of the best and most tenured dealers. So they know how to interact with the guests and get them interested. They do a lot of lessons to teach people how to gamble, particularly if they see a group of young folks coming through, you know, and making sure that they're calling out to them and seeing if they're interested in participating.
Right. Now, there's a lot of reinvestment going on at the Flamingo right now. Tell us what's happening with that.
Oh, I'm so excited. I just watched and walked our convention space, which we have over 100,000 square feet. We do the ribbon cutting for that on Monday, but we spent close to $7 million renovating that, and it is spectacular. We've got our first group of guests that are up there enjoying the space this week, and they're just blown away because there's some long-tenured guests that have stayed with us at the Flamingo. And then we started down a $90 million renovation of two of our towers, Towers 5 and 6, which will fully renovate 1,200 of our rooms, which is about a third of our inventory here at the Flamingo. And the goal is really to you know, go back to our roots. The Strip was built around us. We turned 70 in December of last year. We had a huge anniversary party, and we want to return the Flamingo really to its iconic and legendary status. We have one of the most authentic brands. It's one of the most globally recognized, and people from all around the world want to know and interact with the Flamingo. It's completely authentic, and so that's what we're investing in. And last year at TripAdvisor, we were actually the number one most reviewed hotel in the world.
No kidding.
Which is spectacular because we're not the largest hotel in the world.
Right.
In fact, most of the largest hotels in the world are here on the Strip, and it's not the Flamingo. But it just shows the affinity that people have for this brand and the history. And being able to steward that forward, play into our history and iconic status, but done in a modern way, has been really fun. And that's what we've incorporated in the design of the new rooms. In the work that we've done in the casino, as well as this convention space that we just opened.
Great. Well, you know, you've been one of the lucky ones during the financial struggles of Caesars that, you know, they've dedicated a lot of money to your properties. Are you expecting now that you're just about to exit bankruptcy that there'll be more attention paid possibly to Harrah's and some of the others?
Yeah, and actually Harrah's has been completely renovated, and they're in their second phase of their hotel room, so it's in tremendous shape. You know, our resorts on this side of the strip were not tied up in the restructuring. We are in a separate credit facility.
Right.
So we have been, we've been reinvesting, so we've had some good fortune in that as we've gone along. But certainly for overall company reinvestment and how we can continue to grow, this will be a huge step forward for us all.
Sure, absolutely. Well, it's got to take a, some weight off the mind of everybody in the company. So so congratulations once again on what you've done with those properties and you know, your profile in our magazine in September. It's great to talk to you, and you know, I think you're going to get a lot of women interested in what you've gone through. So hopefully get a lot of calls when we're done with this and it goes into print.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for your continued support, Roger. We couldn't do it without you.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of the GGB podcast, sponsored by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing partner for online and land-based casinos. If you want to hear more about the topics discussed today, visit GGBMagazine.com for all the news and trends in the casino industry. For weekly updates, subscribe to GGB News, which delivers all the news of the gaming industry to your desktop, waiting for you every Monday morning. Please join us next week for another edition of the GGB podcast, and don't forget to follow GGB on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz, on Facebook and LinkedIn at Global Gaming Business Magazine. Have a great week.